Well, if you have your Bibles with you today, we're going to be in a very familiar passage. This is a passage if you attend a funeral. Wait a minute, we're not at a funeral this morning, are we? If you attend a funeral, not yet. All right. Well, that's encouraging. Okay. But if you attend a funeral, a lot of times you'll hear this passage read, and it is Psalm 23. We hear this one a lot, and granted, I'll be honest with you, a lot of times when I do funerals, I tend to go this route as well, at least attempt to read it, put it in there as a reminder to those that are still here of really just how good God is to us. I really just want to be encouraging this morning. I want to walk through this passage together. And man, it is such a wonderful passage to be reminded of, because what David is doing here is really paramount. What David is doing here is he's reminding us who our shepherd is. Amen. And thank goodness that God is our shepherd, because I can tell you right now, I certainly don't want to be the guy guiding myself to life, through life. Amen? You don't want me guiding you through, right? I mean, coach, let's go today, and we'll just say, we'll put our hand on a map, close our eyes, hit it, and we're just going to go. No GPS, no nothing. What do you think? No. Okay. Yeah. No. No. We would never make it back. Probably. Yeah. We'll be gone forever. But we see the great shepherd in the passage here, and again, he does walk us through. Now, granted, there's probably 15, 20 points in here. Yes. At least, right? Yeah. 15, 20 points. Now, I could have preached all 15, 20 points, right? But I'm not. Yeah, Ray in the back. Boo, boo. It was 15 minutes last night. Come on. But this morning, we're going to look at this passage together, and we're going to go through five or six of them. And again, really, I think as we here at the end of April, West Texas, summer is upon us, right? Kids, are you excited about summer? I'm going to melt. Yeah, Daisy's like, oh man, it's so hot out here. It's so dusty out here. But yeah, summer's upon us. School's ending. All the different changes that are going on. We're going to celebrate seniors next week. So we look at this passage here, and we see some really encouraging things in here about the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. Now, that being said, before I read the passage, I think it's pretty sad that we see this in here, the Lord is my shepherd, and yet so many times as believers, though, we live our lives in such a way that you would never realize that the Lord is my shepherd. We do everything based on our own intellect. We do things on our own decisions. We do all the different things of life. And then we get in the situations that we get in through our choices. And then all of a sudden we start looking to God going, oh, you're my shepherd. We sort of have that backwards, amen? Maybe instead of getting into those places we don't want to be, maybe we start out with where Psalm 23 starts out, simply saying the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to go to Him. I'm going to desire Him. So if you will stand with me this morning, I'm going to read Psalm 23. Again, I'm in the ESV. It simply reads like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, God, I do thank you for this morning, God. I thank you again just for the privilege of Scripture, God, for the fact that we have it, for the fact that you've given it to us, God. I pray this morning that through this passage we can be encouraged together. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. So we're walking through here together this morning looking at this. I'm going to point about five or six things here that should encourage this morning to us as we leave this place, because I would dare say in a room, even with this many folks, I would dare say there are some things going on in your life right now you do not like. Would you say amen to that? Wow, we got a healthy crowd evidently. My goodness. Man, so nobody made bad choices this week? Don't lie, George. Kelly? Kelly's like, I'm putting my feet up, all right? We made some bad choices. You know, for us guys in the room, if we looked at our wife and just didn't say, yes, ma'am, we made a bad choice, right? Okay, all right. So we see this happening. We have these things going on, and we can read this morning and go, man, we can pull so many things out of here that can encourage knowing that even in those bad choices, even in those bad moments of life, God is still what? He's still our shepherd. He still wants us. He still desires that relationship with you and I. Now, is that not an awesome God this morning, church? Think about that. God still wants a relationship with you today, even though we screw up, even though we don't really give God what He deserves. He still looks at you and I today and He goes, man, I just want to be with you. Now, we treat folks bad in our lives, do we not? Do those folks look at us and go, oh, heck yeah, man, I still want to hang out with you? Probably not. That's not how God looks at relationship. That's not how He looks at it. So walking through here, the first thing that we see in verse 2, jump right into it, is this. And I think this is key. And what God really desires for us is this, is rest. Now some of y'all are saying, I'm already asleep already, right? Rest. Amen. Rest. Listen, God desires for us to have rest. Now notice what He does here. Now he says, He makes me lie down. This is what it says here in verse 2. He makes me lie down. It doesn't say God says, hey, go over there and take a break, does it? It says He makes me. Now, when you make somebody do something, what does that mean? They're going to what? Do it. Thank you. Okay, are y'all there? Hello, hello. Okay, listen, yes. When He says, I'm making you do this, what He's saying is, you're going to do it whether you want to or not. He makes me lie down. In other words, God says, listen, you are going to rest. Now, if God says we need rest, what does that mean? We need rest, right? Now, I can think back several years ago now, it seems like, back to my youth ministry days. And we used to do an event, we did it more than once, where we decided, for whatever reason, it'd be really awesome to get the youth guy and some unlucky volunteers to show up and decide to start at like 8 p.m. and go to like 8 or 9 a.m. the next day. Those are always awesome, weren't they? Oh, my goodness. And we do it all night. One time I got the bright idea, okay? I thought it'd be fun. We played a little game that involved the kids blacking everything out, wearing their camouflage, everything. And all they could have is a small flashlight. And we would go out in the woods, on about 40 acres in the woods, and we'd play this game. And we decided one time, you know, it'd be awesome. Why don't we do it all night long? I've come to the conclusion, youth ministers don't have brains. That's what I now know, okay? But I tell you, we'd do those nights and we'd do those kinds of things with the students and do that kind of stuff. And I can remember the following day, once that, you know, that last dragging parent would show up to get their kid. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the thing's over at 9 a.m. We've had your kid all night. Can you not be there at 8:55? Do you really have to show up at 10? I mean, really? Okay, but anyway, that's another story, okay? And we get all the kids out of there, and we get all the kids done and stuff. And I can remember, you know, go to the house. And, of course, Kathy, being the loving wife that she is and married the youth guy, guess what she got to do all night? Participate, yes. No, she got to serve. She's a godly woman. But anyway, no. She got to run around in the woods, okay? But, yeah, we would do this and do this kind of thing. And then after it was all over, all I could think about, all I could remember was, like, I just want to crash. I just need rest. I need to be away from kids, teenagers more specifically. I just need to be done. And it didn't matter what was going on. I didn't even want to change. I didn't even want to come out of that, you know, the camo clothing, the hunting clothing. I didn't want to. I just, all I wanted was a couch. I was done. It was time to sleep. And that's literally what God is saying in this passage here. I make you lie down. So why does he do that, I wonder? Well, because he knows that we need that rest. We need to re-energize ourselves. We cannot do it on our own and keep going and going and going and going. Because if we do that, church, what happens? We burn out. We crash, do we not? Now, I know you've got some, I'm sure there's some old cowboys in West Texas who say, well, you know me. You know, I work 100 hours a week. I can do it all. You ever hear those guys? See those guys? Don't point at anybody. Don't. That's not what God intended, church. God desires for his, right? You drive on the road and somebody does something you don't. God says, listen, I make you lie down. I want you to rest. I want you to understand that you need that. Sunday naps are the best. Amen? Amen. Some of you are like, well, I'm trying to do it right now, but you won't shut up. No, that's good. You know? They're the best. They are the best, especially if it's like raining outside. You know, we have a metal roof. It's raining outside. It doesn't rain enough out here to really get that nice. Need that rest. He says, he makes me lie down. He does that. And then it goes on in verse 2. It says, he leads me beside still waters. He gives us refreshment. I think those two coordinate there, but he gives us this refreshment. Because whether we want to admit it or not this morning, I would say in this room, even with this many folks, again, listen, there's some lives in here that are facing some rough waters right now, amen? And when we're in the midst of those rough waters and the things around us seem a little chaotic and they are out of our control at that point, we're a little broken, all the stuff that's going on, God says, I'm going to give you that rest because I'm going to refresh you. I'm going to lead you by the waters where you can get that rest, where you can get that refreshment so you can breathe again. Amen? And that comes from God, church. Now see, if you're in rough waters right now and all you're trying to do is fix it yourself and trying to get over it yourself and you're trying to get to the shore by yourself, guess what's going to happen, church? You're going to continue to be in the rough waters or eventually, yes, you're going to drown. It's going to happen. God says, listen, I can give you that refreshment because I'm the guy that can take you to the still waters that's needed. But now that is our choice too, church. You ready? I'm sure there are rough waters in this room this morning, but it's only your choice. It's your choice this morning to say, okay, God, I'm going to allow you to take me there. That's the kind of God we serve, church. God doesn't just pull us aside and go, okay, go now, does he? Now sometimes we probably, if you're stubborn like me, I'm not really all that stubborn, no. Okay? Maybe sometimes, maybe we wish God would just take us by the collar. Say, just do it. That's not how he is. He's a loving and a just and a sovereign God. And so he says to you, okay, listen, you've got some choices out in front of you here. What are you going to do with them? Are you going to trust me enough to allow me to be the guy that can take you to where you need to be? Or are you going to be stubborn? Are you going to be hard-headed? You're going to be independent. You're going to rely on yourself because that's what the world teaches us. Amen? Right? Who's it about, church? Who's it all about? Me. Make myself the best. Make sure I climb that ladder. Make sure I get to where I need to be. It's I. God says, no. Are you going to choose me? So God says, listen, you're in those rough waters, you're in those times right now, but I know some still waters. I know where I can take you. And the thing about it is this, is God and his grace. You know, when we're fighting the waves, you ready? When we finally submit to God, it's usually not very far away, is it? But we're so blinded because we're trying to do it on our own that we miss it. Amen? And then we say, okay, God, take me to those still waters. I think the imagery that I have when I think of really still water and that kind of, have you ever been to a lake where it looks like a mirror? Have you ever been to experience that? Been there? Okay. I can remember I took a group of students. We went to a little place up in northwest Wyoming, to Warland, Wyoming. It's Mormon country. We went up there and did a mission, did backyard Bible clubs and things with the students. And one day we decided we were going to go out on the Wyoming-Montana line, and there was a lake. We went out there on that lake. It was about waist deep. But you could just get out there in that lake, and you stand out there in that lake, and it just looked like this mirror. It was so beautiful. It was so clear. And when I read this scripture, when I read Psalm 23, I'm always reminded of that. Now, where we were in that lake, it wasn't so clear because I had teenagers with me. You know, you get the picture, okay? But it was clear, and it was just, you know, you could look. I was just like, wow, that's what God means. That's what God's talking about. When those rough waters happen, God says, listen, I'm going to take you where it's so still, you can just almost see a reflection. You see the bottom. So God says, I'm going to take you to those still waters. I'm going to give you refreshment. And then it goes on in verse 3 here, moving right along here. It says, He restores my soul. Now naturally, what do you think I'm going to go with that? Restoration? Isn't that a good thing to have in your life right now? Knowing that God will restore you? Okay, thank you, Ray. Okay, yes. Every day we get up and God can restore us, amen? He's that kind of God. Listen, now I am no auto guy, okay? I don't know how to fix anything on a car, I'll tell you. You can ask Kathy that, okay? You don't want to call me, okay? Your car breaks down, don't call me, okay? Or if you want to have some fun, call me, okay? We'll see what happens, okay? But I'm not an auto guy, but I really think it's really neat. I think it's a gift from God and a very big talent. These guys and these gals that can take like this clunker car, junkyard kind of deal, and make it into like this restored, antique, awesome car. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Are y'all there this morning? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I guess I should have like built a car in here for y'all this morning. Would that have worked for you? Yeah, like a Ford Mustang. Coach is like, no, don't you dare do that in our sanctuary. Wouldn't that be, I mean, that, you know, it's cool to see that, though, how they do that. And really, that's imagery of us with God. Because we're all those old clunkers. Now, some of you are saying, I'm an old clunker right now, right? 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 Okay. That's really the imagery there that's going on, is that's what we are. We're like stuck in a barn. We're dusty. We're dirty. We're dented up. We have all this issues going on. And then God takes us and He makes us into a show car. That's how He restores us. He doesn't do just a little bit of work to us. He completes us. Amen? And I think about that. He said, man, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make you better than you were. I mean, what I think about that is wonderful, because ultimately what I think about too is salvation, amen? All right? I said it 100 times in here, but when I think about salvation, for me, I think July 7, 1993, that was my day. That was my encounter with Jesus. He took something that was old and worthless and not very good, and He made it new. He restored me. Now, y'all, a lot of y'all still look at me and say, well, you sort of look like back then. No, I'm just kidding, okay? That's what He did for me. That's what He did for every one of us. But the fact of the matter is, every single day we wake up, God says, listen, I'll restore you. I will bring you back to new again. And again, it comes back to who? You and I, amen? It comes back to our choice of saying, God, I want that. I desire that. I want you to restore me. I want you to knock that rust off of me. When I think of restoration too, I think of in Matthew 18, the parable of the lost sheep, right? Isn't that a cool parable? 100 sheep, one wanders off. What does he do? Goes to find the one, right? That's how valuable we are to God. He wants to restore you. It doesn't, you know, yes, it's important, but He's still, man, that one's still important. It matters. That's how important you are to God. So He restores us back to that. time's sake, I get it. It goes on to say in verse 4, you are with me. You are with me. Do you believe Jesus is with us today, church? Wait a minute. I know we're Southern Baptists, but I couldn't hear you. Do you believe Jesus is here this morning? That's one of those times where you jump out of your chair, jump on your chair, you clap, and you say, heck yeah, he's there. You swing from the whatever. Speaker, sure, yeah, go for it, Kaylin. I'd love to see it, okay? You are with me. You are my refuge. It's probably my favorite part of Psalm 23. You are my refuge, God. God wants to take care of you so badly. So badly. No matter how big or difficult or how life situations get, God says, listen, I want to just take care of you. Why don't we allow Him to do it, church? Why don't we allow God just to take care of us? You say, oh, I do. Do we? See, if there's an ounce of stress in your heart today, we're not allowing God to be our refuge. See, that's mean. No, it's true. If there's an ounce of worry in you right now, guess what? We're not allowing God to be our refuge. I'm a worrier. Am I a worrier? Absolutely. Well, preacher, it's in the Bible. It says, do not worry. What's wrong with you? I told you, I'm stubborn, I'm hard-headed. I worry. God says, when we do those things, though, we're not allowing Him to be our refuge, our shelter. It's almost like we're saying to God, God, I don't believe you can take care of me. Right? It's what we're doing. It's what I'm doing. Or if I'm worrying about someone or something, I'm saying, God, I don't think you can shelter them or refuge them. It's almost like I've got to do something. And what good is that going to do, church? You can be honest with me. Not much. Thank you. It's true. God says, listen, I want to be that refuge. I am with you. I want to protect you. I want to comfort you. I want to be there. I know I give this imagery all the time, but it's true. God is literally saying right next to you this morning, even in this room, what God is doing is He's just opened His arms up and He's saying, I am ready right now to give you the biggest bear hug possible. Would that not feel good today, church? From the one that gave everything. Imagine if all we had to do was just turn around, which that's all we have to do today, just turn around, and God is saying, I want to wrap my arms around you. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to shelter you. Give you refuge. See, when Jesus does that and we allow Him to do that, nothing else is going to matter. You hear me? Nothing else. The world around us is going to disappear because we're going to be truly just in the love of Jesus. Those same hands that were nailed to a cross. It's ready just to wrap around you this morning and say, I've got you. I've got you. Stop fearing, stop worrying, stop stressing, stop trying to do it yourself. I have got you. How do we know that He's got us? It says that you prepare a table before my enemies. What does Jesus do today for us? He will rescue you. He's going to rescue you. All right, show of hands. Have you ever needed help in your life? Be honest. If you did not raise your hand, I'll see you at the altar and we'll talk, okay? Hello? Okay. God about to say something? I don't know. We've all needed to be rescued. How many in the room, by show of hands, how many of us have enemies in our life? Some of you are like, oh, do I do that in church? Can I, you know, like, pointing to my husband, okay. Yeah, we do. Maybe enemy is a strong word. Maybe it's just people we just don't like. I was got a little worried there because some of y'all are probably like, pointing up here, you know, that could get a little uncomfortable, you know. But we do. We all have those folks that we're just like, you know, I don't want to deal with them. I really don't want to deal with them. I'm just done. I just don't want to deal with it. God says, I've got you. I'm your rescue. I'm preparing it before even them. I'm going to show them just who I am and whose you are in me. I am your God. I'm your Savior. Got you. I've thrown the lifeline out to you. Now, what are you going to do about it? You going to keep drowning? You going to grab a hold of it? What are you going to do? I'm ready to rescue you. Oh, man. Maybe this morning you say, you know what? I think, you know, all that hope, all that what we've talked about in churches just seems all lost. You ever been there? You sort of look out in front of you and you're like, I don't see the picture. You ever been there? It's hard. I just don't see it. When we're in those moments, if we still trust in God, guess what God is already doing? He's making a way, church. Do you hear me? He's making a way. When you don't see the big picture, guess who does? God. God is the big picture. God's your rescue. Nobody in this room can rescue you but Him. Now, everybody in this room maybe could give an encouraging word. Say a prayer. Maybe even hug your neck. But ultimately, the one that's going to rescue you from your troubled waters is who? God. He sees the big picture. He is the rescue. The sixth one this morning is a fun one. It is revival. It says goodness and mercy. It also says all the days of my life. Revival. Now see, when I think about revival, I don't know if they happened out here or not, but you ever seen the revival in the like a big tent and you sit up the chairs and you just get down? You know what I mean by that? Okay, yep. Oh, there's a couple of them. All right. That's when I think of revival, that's what I think of. I think of just a huge group of people who don't care about anybody around them but Jesus. And they just have a good time. But see, that's what God is saying to you this morning in Psalms 23. He says, guess what? Every day of your life, it can be a revival. Every day of your life can be a revival. You say, no. Preacher, you don't understand. I wake up on Monday morning and I live life. Preacher, you don't understand. I'm married to that. Preacher, you don't understand. Look at my friend group. Preacher, you don't understand. Look at my health situation. Preacher, you don't understand. Look at my finances. See, we make it about all the things that God can have control of that we take control of. Amen? God is saying goodness and mercy can go with you all the days of your life. Every morning when you get up and your feet hit the floor, put that foot down, you put that foot down. Guess what? You've just been gifted. Another day. Another day means we have another day of revival. We have another day of life. We have another day of opportunity to be able to say, you know what? Man, I've got people around me that are in rough waters right now. But they don't have this. And God's given it to me. Why can I not be the one to share it? Amen? Oh, that's uncomfortable. No. No, they'll find out I go to church. Ooh. Then they're going to label me. I've told y'all 100 times in here, I love meeting new people. Y'all know that right by now, right? I love meeting new people. I love talking to them. It's just like any kind of situation, you get to talking. And, you know, out here it always goes to oil, you know. We live in West Texas, okay? It always somehow ends up in that department and stuff. And then they're like, what do you do? What brought you to West Texas? God. I'm a preacher. They clam up faster, boy, faster than a hiccup. All that big talking they were doing, it suddenly they get really quiet. It's like, what happened? What's going on here? But we have that revival opportunity to go and tell people, this is what you can have. You don't have to fight the waters. You don't have to fight in this life. You don't have to struggle like that. God's got you. And I can read you a passage that's read at every funeral, and it's going to help you now while you're living. That's just how beautiful our Bible is, amen? So this morning, as we close out the service, I'm going to ask the music folks to come on up here. As we do shut out the service this morning, yes, it's encouraging to us, but the fact of the matter is there's some folks in this morning that are struggling right now, and they're trying to stay afloat right now. And I don't know what the situations are, and I don't even need to know them. That's the cool thing about it. God needs to know. God needs to say that you're serious about it. Maybe right now you're just out there in the boat and maybe your motor's quit and you're just doing this now. And God is just going, when are you going to turn to me? When are you going to turn to me? Because see, the fact of the matter is, church, is this. Is you're in the boat and the waves are going crazy and you're doing this right now. And guess where God is? He's in the boat with you. He's in the boat with you. And He's waiting for you to go. Okay. Can't do it on my own. I can't do it. I'm ready for still waters. I'm ready for rest. I'm ready for refuge, refreshment, revival. I'm ready for it. So this morning it starts with you. I'd be happy to pray with you. I'll pray with you, absolutely. There's a reason we have the altar, church. Come give it to God. Again, the postures of worship is not sitting. The biblical postures of worship is standing and bended knee. Right there. So this morning, is that you? I'd be happy to pray with you. The altar is open. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the encouragement, but also the challenge. And God, I do. I just pray for those that are right now, God, they've got those paddles out, the water's rough. God, I just pray today that, God, that they can just turn to you, give it to you, God. Allow you to give them rest, even if it's just for a few moments, to recoup them, to refresh them, to encourage them. God, we love you today. I give you this time as we go into this time of commitment. For it's in Christ's name we do pray.